mercy and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you sin, you suffer. If you suffer, well, obviously you have sinned. The bigger the sin, the bigger the suffering. And that's what the people said in Job's day. That's what the people said in Jesus' day. And people still believe that today. A tornado rips through a high school in Alabama. A bus crashes in Georgia, killing baseball players. A car bombs and ambushes in Iraq every day. A drunk driver hits the minivan of a mother with her children. An expert pilot's plane crashes. And then in our text, for today, some supermarket journalists tell Jesus, Pilate killed some rebellious Galileans and poured their blood on their own altar. Their report implies that the one who suffered somehow deserved it because they were more wicked than the crowds themselves. And Jesus will not let that assumption stand. In fact, Jesus adds an item of his own from the tabloids. Siloam Tower collapses, kills 18. Pilate's victims were not more wicked than those bringing the report or than the innocent victims who suffered when a tower in Siloam fell. Why do such things happen? The answer many give is, because these people have sinned, and because they have sinned, they suffer. That is what the crowd demands. And we learned from the book of Job that that is true, but what is equally true is just because you reaped it doesn't mean you sowed it. Yes, if you sow it, you reap it. But just because you reaped it doesn't mean that you sowed it. Theologians say it this way, the causal reversal isn't always true. Why do bad things happen to good people? Jesus just rules that question out of bounds, off the table, not allowed. The question shouldn't be asked because ultimately it can't be answered. In fact, Jesus overturns all of our questions. He directs us to what he has in mind. Unless you repent, you too will all perish. And he says it twice to make his point clear. And in confirmation class, you all know that if I mention it twice or more in the class, it's going to be on the exam. Rebellious Galileans were killed. 18 were crushed under a tower. People died. The correct response to death, whether by political oppression, terrorists, natural disasters, car accidents, drunks, drugs, wild living, falling towers, disease, or whatever, is repentance. Death isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. Damnation is. Death is a sign that things are not right between you and God. The wages of sin is death. And unless we all repent, we'll be worse off than the Galileans in the temple or the 18 killed by the falling tower in Siloam. Repentance. Repentance is the end of all of your questions. Repentance puts you in the position of being given to by God. It gets you off your thrones and high horses and puts you on your knees. It opens your hearts to receive God's mercy. In our confirmation, we publicly confessed our faith in God, and not just any God, but the one true God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, who is revealed for us in Jesus Christ, the same Jesus who speaks in our text today, Jesus who died for them and for all, who buried you and all of us into the grave of his death through baptism. Though baptized into his death, the Lord teaches you to repent. In other words, to be at the receiving end of his gifts, to believe that his death is for you, that his resurrection is for you, that his body and blood for you in the Holy Supper, to trust that Jesus alone is your Savior and God. You, me, and all of us who are gathered here today are always in need of repentance. And it's not easy. It doesn't come natural. We fight it. Repent. Repentance. It's the fruitless fig tree that gets all the attention. It's the focus of the gardener's rich mercy. What advantage is there to admitting that you are a sinner? To confessing your sin? That you are forgiven. That you get fed with the death of Jesus. So, Lent is a time to be purpose-driven, to be intentional, to driven to repentance, to kneel with St. Paul and say together with him, Christ Jesus died for sinners, of whom I am the worst. A fruitless fig tree, a sinner deserving death, and in mercy, God gives you death. The death of his Son, which is your life, purposely driven purposely to Christ Jesus, for you are completely safe in his death. So when you hear of tragedy in the news or disaster striking dangerously near you, don't ask why such things happen. Instead, repent. Seek God's mercy. Don't stay away from the church. Don't stop praying, but confess your sin. Pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And be forgiven with his words. Be fed with his body and blood. Then let the pilots of this world do whatever they do, for they can harm us none. Let towers fall. One day you will die of one thing or another, tragically or not. But with the Lord's death for you, you are forgiven. With his body and blood fertilizing your bodies, you will not perish. For you will live as fruitful trees in the Lord's vineyard, both now and forevermore. Amen. Now let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord.